All right, go ahead and take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we're going to be at. We're going to continue our study through 1 Corinthians. And we really ain't got but a little bit, a couple more chapters left. Three, I guess. And, but I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. And, so anyway, the title here is, I think I put just the goal of the church, okay? And I know you think that's not really catchy, but I'm not a real catchy person. I mean, I just know that, you know, Miss Jen, just how it is. But it is true. It's very, the theme, obviously, the sermon is, you know, is the answer. What is the goal of the church? Okay, of a church. And that's something nowadays is, I mean, it's just, you get a lot of different definitions. And, you know, obviously a goal is the object of a person's ambition, effort, aim, or desired result. We have lots of goals, you know. And we have certain goals to do that. We went hiking yesterday. Our goal was to reach a certain point and then come back. We had a goal. All sports, for the most part, have goals. Football has a goal. It's to score a touchdown, for the most part. I know there's field goals, but in basketball, or baseball, it's to score runs. In basketball, it's to hit shots. In soccer, it is to score goals. Having the wrong goals, though, or scoring the wrong goals, can be costly. In June 22nd, 1994, Colombians, I don't know how to really pronounce his name, but Andres Escobar, accidentally scored a goal for the other side and helped eliminate his team from the World Cup. So he scored the wrong goal. His mistake cost him the game. Yet worse, when he went back home one day, he was being made fun of for his blunder, which led him to be shot 6 times to his death. Okay? And, so, obviously, in this case, the wrong goal was deadly for him. Now, it shouldn't have been, but it was. You know, having the wrong goals can be deadly. And having the wrong goal for the church is no exception. No. The church, you know, if the church had the wrong goals, it will die. Now, it may not die physically, but it'll die spiritually, which is really the most important thing, okay? You know, it'll die spiritually. You know, many people make church about so many things that are not what church is about. And what I'm going to say, I'm not against, but it's not the goal of the church, okay? Number one, entertainment. The church is not, we're not here today to be entertained. I hope that I don't bore you to death, but my goal today is not to entertain you. We should socialize, which that probably, if you not care, you know, we should fellowship with each other. And that's really still not the goal. Fun is not the goal of church. Being comfortable is not the goal of going to church. Church is not about self. I mean, not what it's about. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying anything they're not good. I'm not saying they're not even healthy to do, but it can't be the goal. Like, that I want to have fun, even at church. That's why I like to make fun of some of y'all, especially like Brother CD. I love making fun of him. It brings me joy. I make fun of him, you know? And so, I want to have fun. But if that becomes my goal in life for church, then we fail. I hope you understand what I mean. Here's the thing. Churches without goals die. Proverbs 29:18 says this. Remember, the Proverbs, or the whole Bible, the book of principles. And it says this, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need to have goals as church. We need to have a vision. But here's the question, what should it be? What should be the goal of a church? Well, here's the answer. Edification. If you look here, in just chapter 14, it used the word edification to edify 6 times. I'll let Miss Janet count them in a minute and make sure I'm right. Then, it also alludes to the ideal of edifying a few other times. So here's the question. What does edify mean? Okay? Well, it comes from 2 Greek words. It means to build. You know, like an edifice, you know, you build. Okay? And obviously in the context here, it's to build in a spiritual sense. It's to profit spiritually. It's for spiritual advancements. It's for us to grow spiritually. That's the goal of church. Okay, that's the goal. The goal for us is not to be the, I mean, not that I'm against it, but be the, you know, the community voice for the, you know, the voice for the community and be the leading crusader for the community. And that's okay, but our goal is to edify, spiritually grow, is to add to our faith. Oh, wait a minute. 2 Peter says something like this. Remember, in 2 Peter, he said this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That right there refutes the idea that all we're supposed to do is see people saved. We all want to see people saved, but we are also to grow in our faith. You know, and a believer who said, oh, I'm going to heaven, that's all that matters, then you're missing it. You are to grow. You are to build yourself spiritually. And that is what we're to do at church. That's the goal of church. And I want to look at this and I want to reiterate this in three ways, in 3 points. We see the goal of the church is to edify, number one, in the plead to the church. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. He said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, rather than you may prophesy. Here's the first thing. I see a plea for passion. It says there, follow after charity. Follow after charity. See, you have a plea for passion. It says here, the word follow means to pursue. It means to make a practice. It means that we are to pursue, he's saying, please, he's telling the church, pursue after love. Pursue after charity. Pursue after passion. And now, we spent all last week talking about love, okay? So I'm not going to give you much here, but that I'm talking about all last week. But Paul pleaded for them to make love their goal. Now, here's what you may ask. What does that have to do with edifying? Well, you'll see it later, but here's what one writer said. When love is the primary consideration, the edification of others will be the most important concern. And so even in sports, if you're a coach and you love your kids, then your main concern is seeing them grow in that sport. That's your main concern. The same thing at church. If we love each other and we love our safety, our main concern is going to be their well-being. We're going to be concerned about them knowing Jesus, and we're going to be concerned about them growing in Jesus. So we see here that the goal of a church, even in this right here, is edification. We see here the plea for passion, but we see also the plea to prophecies. It says here in verse 1, it says that you may rather make prophecies. The command, as a command, the word desire there, it says it means to covet after. Now remember, we're going to talk a little bit later, but they were having this problem with spiritual gifts, okay? We've talked about that for the last 5 weeks now, okay? And so, obviously, one of the gifts they wanted the most, they coveted tongues. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, okay? He said, no. He said, what I want you to covet, I actually want you to covet being able to prophesy, okay? Now, what was prophecy? Well, it was a foretelling something to come. It was declaring truth through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. I'm getting hot again. I don't know what the deal is. It's declaring the truth. Now, what I want you to understand about this here and in the book of Acts, this was a transition time. They were going from the old covenant to the new covenant. When Paul wrote this and when Paul was ministering, they didn't have the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So the thing they were saying, the Holy Spirit were filling them and telling them. That's the thing. When you read the book of Acts, remember this. Transition. Things that happen in Acts don't happen now. If that's the case, let's all get snake bit and we won't die. Man, you won't die if you don't get treatment. Because Paul got snake bit, but he didn't die. Why? Because it was a special transition period, okay? Just remember that. That's a whole nother sermon. But here's the thing. He said, what is the benefit of prophecies? Well, it speaks to men. Look here in verse 2. He said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How bad in the spirit he speaketh mystery. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men. That's why I want you to prophesy instead of speaking in tongues, because it speaks to men. And what does it do? He said this in verse 3. He said, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, he is pleading to speak God's message to others, where they can be built up, where they can be helped, where they can be comforted. That's what the Word of God says. So the whole point here, the reason he don't want them speaking in tongues, is that it doesn't edify. See, the goal of church should be to edify. Look at chapter 14, verse 19. He said that, yet I, in the church, I rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. What he's saying here is that if you're not being edified, if you're not learning the Word of God, it's really no spiritual value. Now, in our church at least, we don't have to struggle speaking in tongues. We don't believe it's a spiritual gift now. We believe it's ceased, which I believe that, because we have the Word of God. There's no reason for, you know, we're not getting no new revelation. But we are, and a lot of conservative churches are enamored with what I call emotionalism. We love to get emotional, don't we? And that's fine. But emotionalism isn't going to edify you. I don't even say we get enamored with music to the point to where, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. Some of y'all going to get really mad at me. But most Christian souls teach shallow theology. Now, that's fine. And I'm not saying somebody couldn't be saved from a soul, but souls teach shallow theology. If all you do is listen to souls all your life, you're not going to learn much about God. And truthfully, even hymns, some of them are wrong. You know, the one talking about making a promise, you know, I'm crossing Jordan River, I'm going to heaven. The promised land don't represent heaven. They had to work for the promised land. I've already talked about that in Joshua. There's a lot of songs that are biblically inaccurate. Alpha, we get stirred up, don't we? We get stirred up. I mean, I'll just be honest with you, I was very disappointed in homecoming. We got all stirred up, hooting, hollering, crying, and the next week we had 40 people here. We got stirred up emotionally. We had 40 people the next Sunday. We had 98 that Sunday and 40 the next. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't move, y'all. That ain't the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you right now. We got stirred up. But it must not edify nobody because people didn't change. And they got worse. So I'm not against music, but we got to make sure we don't get enamored by things that don't edify. What's going to edify is the Word of God and learning it and studying. I knew y'all wasn't going to like that, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, anyway. Just like, I mean, if you want to talk about music in general, we got people love Bill Gaither. You know, he sang with the Oak Ridge Boys. He loved Oak Ridge Boys. Remember listening to that, what's that song, Elvira? Now, that ain't a real godly song, I don't think. But they all yoke up together. Man, I'm not talking about all of it. We got to be careful. Well, one guy said, he said, if a song passes the sniff test, the smell test of being doctrinally correct, we like it. I'm afraid we love music. It had nothing to do with spiritual. I could get riled up right now. I mean, I could, because you see it everywhere. Because, well, here's the thing, you know, I asked the guy yesterday, I said, if you change your church music, would you lose people? Yes. That's a problem. We're not here for the music. I want music. I don't mind music. I would probably be a little more, you know, a little more contemporary in my style. Anyway, I'm not against music. But that's not what we're here for. And it's just funny how we get so stirred up over music, but we don't get stirred up over the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, I said this before. When the Holy Spirit moves, people get saved. When the Holy Spirit moves, people confess their sin. When the Holy Spirit moves, people get faithful to church. People are going to be a shining light. But what it is emotionalism. We all stir it up. And we become enamored with that. Most churches become enamored with emotionalism. But here's the problem with emotion. It don't edify. Emotions are a part of us. I started crying when my wife singing that song. That's fine. And then people say, you see somebody start crying, oh, they're just so spiritual. They may have kind of went to bed late last night. Maybe that somebody died in their family and they're emotional. Emotional don't mean they're spiritual. Just want you to know that. Anyway. So we see the plea. The plea here, in the plea, we see here, he said, don't be enamored with something that doesn't edify. He said, love, and he said, prophesy. He said, this is why. He said, because that's what edifies. And that's the goal of our church. Our church needs to be, we don't need to be about trying to whip everybody up emotionally. We need to be about learning the Word of God. And there's a lot of churches that don't care about that now. I mean, you know, They care about what they can offer. Number two, we see here the problem in the church. We see the plea to the church, but now we see the problem. Who's the problem? Number one, within themselves. You say, we've already talked about this for 5 weeks. They were selfish, they were prideful, they were competitive, they were divided, they were not loving, they were not caring, they were jealous. They were all about themselves, which is why, in context here, they were wanting, everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Why? Because tongues was popular. It made you the most popular person. It made everybody look, wow, look what he can do. Which is kind of funny, that's how we do with music. Like somebody can sing real good, wow. You know, I'll prove something about music. You say that, you give me a song that you love, and let me sing it to you. You won't like it anymore. It won't be a blessing to you anymore. Because we love music and people with ability. We get whooped up on people with ability to sing, not just what they're singing. Because if I can sing any song you want today, and you won't get stirred, trust me. So, I mean, it's about the words, Preacher Will. No, it's not. Because I can sing the words all day, and you ain't going to like it. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, I just get fired up with that. But anyway, but they were so enamored with tone, because it made them somebody. And so he said, that's a problem. And here's the next thing. The problem not within themselves, but with tongues. They had a problem with tongues. Now, I'm going to give you an explanation. My sermon today is not about tongues, but I do have to explain a few things before we go further. What is tongues? If you look at that word tongue, it just means language. It means dialect. There's a lot of confusion about this. It means one person says, speaking in tongues refers to a dialect or a language other than known to the speaker. Like me speaking Spanish. I don't know Spanish. To the hearer, it represents various nations recognized the language of their own land. It was a supernatural and sudden ability to speak in another human language. Okay, that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 3. Remember, Peter stood up and he spoke. And they all looked around and said, man, I can hear in my own language. Because they were all gathered, they were different nations and nationality. And then, so when Peter spoke, you know, the guy who was Spanish heard his Spanish. You know, the guy who spoke French could understand French. And then the guy who spoke Aramaic could understand Aramaic. And whoa, and the person who could heard Greek understood it in Greek. That's all tongues was. Okay? That's really all it is. Okay? And so now what's happening is some people want to say it was a special language that no one could understand. As far as I'm concerned, Act is sufficient evidence that it was just a foreign language. Here's another thing I want you to understand about tongues. It was a sign for the unsaved, not for the church. Look in verse 22. Well, again, we're talking about these churches that speak in tongues. And I'm not really here to hate on the charismatics, although I don't agree with them. But we want to practice in the church all the time, right? Wherefore, tongue. Or for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So once again, they're speaking in tongues in church, and Paul said, it's not for the church. It was a sign for those who didn't believe. Alright. Now it goes right along with Pentecost. They had all these people. Pentecost wasn't a church meeting. Pentecost was a bunch of unsaved people, and Peter standing up saying, Jesus rose from the dead, and you crucified him, and you are a sinner, and sin will send you to hell. And you need to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what was happening. And he spoke it and the Holy Spirit took over him to where everybody understood it in their own language. Therefore, really, there's nothing to do in the church. Because the actual church, last time I checked, was supposed to be the body of believers. So think about that for a minute. Now, the King James just added the word unknown. In our text, the word unknown is added before the singular form of tongues. And you see later where it just says tongue, there's no unknown. And then italics, which means the King James translator added that, okay? Now, some people make a big deal out of it, some people don't. Why they added it, I don't really know. But it doesn't really matter, because what Paul says here, that unless it be translated, it is no good because people don't understand it. Tongue. With a gift from the Spirit to speak in another man's language in order to witness to them. They continued this in the early church, and if someone could speak and be translated, it never was no purpose accepted to one speaker. Look at verse 4. Now, we're going back to edifying now, okay? So I gave you my little explanation. Now, look at verse 4. Going back to my point today, the goal of the church is to edify, okay? Now, it says this. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. See, tongues fails to edify. Verse 2 says, no one can understand it. No one can be edified. Look at the illustration. He goes on in verse 7. He says this. And even things without life-giving, whether it's pipe or harp, and should there be a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known when it's piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Or likewise, yet except ye utter by the tongue, when any be understood, how it be known when it's spoken? So what he said here is that even a musical instrument has to have a noble sound to be valuable. He said even a battle trumpet has to have a certain sound for everybody to know that, hey, it's time to get ready for battle. He said the same is true of language. It has to be understood to be of any value. He said tongues are speaking another language and no one can understand it. It doesn't edify the church. It's without understanding. It's, in verse 11, he said, it's barbaric. It doesn't serve no purpose because it doesn't edify. Here's what else it does. It fails to evangelize. Go with me to verse 23 again. Or verse 23. Now, remember, it was a sign for the unsaved, right? Remember that. Stay with me. Some of y'all are sleeping on me. I can tell you got your eyes closed. And I know, but listen, okay? The point comes, what will happen? Some of y'all will go out and some charismatic will come up and say, you're supposed to speak in tongues. You're going to be home. You're going to get the feel of the Holy Spirit. So you need to know this. Because this is what it said. What's funny to me. Number one, even if tongues still does a cease to be, and not for the church. So if you sit in church speaking in tongues, then it's worthless. But then number two, even for the unsaved, it says this in verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, well, remember, they all want to do this. And they come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? So what he's saying here is that number one, guys, he said, it's not for the church, it's for the unsaved. He said, but if all y'all get together, and y'all start speaking in tongues, and you got somebody who's unsaved, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're crazy. And that's exactly the truth. I've been in a situation like that, and wasn't even nothing close to what he's saying. I've seen some of that, and I was like 13, I think, and I thought to myself, this is crazy. And so what happens is, if there's no purpose, it doesn't edify. And it fails to evangelize. That's the problem with tongues. Now, my purpose today is not to tell you all about tongues when you sit down later and talk about it if you want to. I'll be glad to. In looking at the problem in the church, what was Paul's goal? Paul said, I want you to be edified. And in tongues, if you can't understand it, does not edify. That's the thing I want you to get today. So I don't even want to talk about tongues this month. I want to get back to the purpose of church. The purpose, the goal, the aim for us in a church is to be edified and to learn the Word of God. We see the goal of the church is to be edified through the plead, through the problem, but now look at the purpose. The purpose. The purpose for the church. It will be no surprise, but Paul clearly states the purpose of the church. First thing he says to edify. Look at verse 5. And it says that here's Paul's wish. He said, I would rather that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. What was his wish? His wish is that everybody had the gift of prophecy, which is basically just teaching the Word of God. So that's my wish. I wish that where everybody could be edified. Okay? So the purpose of the church is to edify. He said, but here's Paul accept. Look at verse 5 again. He accepts tongues. He said this. I thought it was interesting. That he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So he said, I'm okay with tongues, because it was during that time. Yeah. There's somebody who can interpret what you say. Basically, if you go with the act, someone speaks in Spanish and everybody speaks English, and someone gets up and says, I know Spanish, let me translate it to English, And we're like, oh, that's great. That's what God said. Yeah. And we're edified. Paul said, so again, what we see here is we ought to be about edifying each other. Then we see Paul's desire in verse 12. In case you still missed the purpose, look at verse 12. So even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. God, the purpose of church, the goal of church. If we're standing on the 1 yard line, the goal is to get to the other side for the church. Our goal is to edify, to learn the word of God, not be stirred emotionally. I mean, in truth, not to feel good. It's not, I'm sorry. We're not to feel good. We're not to bring, you know, get spoiled with pride and be what we, you know, I'm just so great at this. No, our purpose is one thing, and that is to edify. That is to learn the word of God. It is to build up spiritually. And I'm afraid we're getting lopsided. So many things are taking place. And I'm going to say, for us, I reply, is a lot of conservatives, and even music in the conservative churches is an idol. I mean, one day I said, we're not going to do anything next week. We're not going to have music. We're not going to have children's church. We're going to sit together, and we're going to study the word of God. And it'll take about a month, and some of y'all will start leaving. Now, I'm not that stupid, and I think music has a place. I think music has a place, but it's, you read the book Radical by David Platt. Would you come to church? We didn't have pews. We had to sit on the floor. But we still learned the word of God. Would you come? I mean, there's people in other countries who die for reading the Bible. And they'll get together over a candle and read the Bible. They love the word of God. The problem is when I say the word of God is more important than music is that we don't love the word of God. Oh, you love these songs and the way they make you feel. Well, I mean, I ain't heard a lot of testimony, but I don't know if I've heard any testimony that said, because of that song, I got saved. Might have happened. I'm not saying there's some songs that don't explain the gospel. But we got to make sure that we are not about getting emotionally stirred. And that's something that irritates me, emotionalism. We get stirred, we cry, but we don't change. So that ain't the spirit, that's emotions. I mean, right now, Homeward Bound. Remember that movie Homeward Bound? The dog and the two dogs and the cat. And an old gold retriever is coming across and Peter's the boy, and they've been gone from home. And he said, he's just too old. He just can't make it. He died. And the dog talks off. And the dog, he's coming. He said, I'm coming, Peter. I can watch that. And probably start crying. That's emotions. And we have that in church. A soul, and it'll make you cry. That's emotions. That's fine. That's not wrong. But if it don't change you, it wasn't of the Spirit. We need to make sure we're edified, not stirred. We need to make sure we're edified. The purpose of church is to edify in the church, but also to evangelize. Look at verse 24. To evangelize. But if all prophecy, which basically is preaching the word of God, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all, and does all in the secret of his heart may manifest. See, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the heart. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Basically, here's the thing, is that the purpose of church is to evangelize. When you preach the word of God, when you teach the truths, he said, people will be convicted, and they'll fall on their face, and they'll get right with God. That's what the Word of God does. And that is the purpose of church. The purpose of church is to evangelize. The purpose of church is to edify and to evangelize. And how is that done? Look in verse 6. How do we edify? How do we evangelize? Verse 6 says this. Now, brethren, if I could unto you speaking with tongues, what I may profit you, except I speak to you, even by revelation. Basically saying, I can't edify you with speaking in tongues, but if I speak to you even by revelation, that's revealing the truth. or by knowledge, as obviously I'm preaching the truth, you know, knowing, or prophesying, same thing, or by doctrine, which is, you know, learning the Word of God. So you say, what, the perfect, the way we edify, and that verse tells it in full words, the Word of God, revealing it, understanding it, knowing it. That is how you and I will profit spiritually, by learning and getting on the meat of the Word of God. Not being stirred emotionally. That's not going to last about 10 seconds. By the time your eyes dry up, then that's going to be about it. And by the way, we do feel good when we're emotional. I don't really cry, but if I was to cry, I'd feel good afterwards. That's what emotions do. Okay? But we don't need to be searching for emotional stirring. We need to be searching to learn the Word of God. It happens. Here's what it is. As this chapter makes it clear that Paul understood that real edification required the communication of understood truths. Even you can tell somebody, Jesus died for you, but they've got to understand what that means. Don't you remember when Philip goes to the eunuch in the chariot and he's reading the Word of God in Isaiah like a lamb slaughtered? He said, I don't understand. Philip sit down and explain to him. See, that's the thing about songs. They don't always explain. Yeah, you may know the song, you may hear what it says, but you have to understand. Edification comes when communication of understood truth of the Word of God. When they understand what we communicate and explain, and you understand what the Word of God is teaching, then we are edified. And that's when we grow spiritually. Without goals or the correct goal, we will perish. The plead, the problem, the purpose all reveal that the goal of the church is to be edified by the clearly communicating the Word of God. And that's not what prophets today. But that's the only way me and you are going to grow. When you do some of the other stuff, that's fine. But that's how you're going to grow. That's it. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can say what you know. You can disagree with me. You can say that. But you have to understand the Word of God to ever be able to practice it. That's the next thing. Then you have to do it. But that's a whole other sermon there. You have, to, for us to be edified, we have to know what to do. And the only way you're going to know what to do is through the Word of God. And that's what church is about. That's the goal of church. Now, if we cry a long way, that's fine, long as we keep our focus on what we need. That is the goal. I can't say it enough. Because we're battling that across the churches now. We're battling that emotionally. We say, no, yeah, we are. We're craving. I mean, some of these bigger churches, I worked at a big church at one time. I'm not against that, but some of these churches do all these things. It's sad if you start doing all the activity, a lot of them will go to another church. They just go to the next one again, because they don't understand that what church is about is edifying yourself, being edified spiritually. You need to understand that. We need to make sure we don't chase down these rabbits either. Chase down these rabbits. And I can get a whole nother sermon on the church and emotionalism and about being, you know, finding your own true happiness and living your best life, and basically to be your own self. You're a little God yourself. I watched a video the other day just about it, and I mean, but here's the deal. Church is about being taught the Word of God. And that's what's most important. Because that's what's going to, not what I think, not what you think, but what God tells us is what's going to give us true growth in our lives. As a piano player comes up, and you stand to your feet, and I can keep saying the same thing over and over, and it's so true. And I believe this church knows that. At the core group, you know that. You know that church is about the Word of God. But I can't state enough. What's funny, is that we say that the Word of God is the most important thing, yet if that's all we did for the next 2 or 3 months, half y'all wouldn't be happy about it. But that's what church is about. I mean, if the Word of God is so important to us, yet it's not enough. It's not enough for most people. Most churchgoers, the Word of God is not enough. We got to have something else. And I'm okay with that. I'd love to have other things. We had the resources, and we had the people to do it. But I'm saying, I'm not against that, by no means. But I'm saying, it's a sad testimony on the church that the Word of God is not enough. not enough. We gotta be tickled. We gotta have our ears scratched. I can't change any other church, but I can hopefully talk to you today and say, hey, what you need to be concerned about is learning the Word of God. And that having an emotional experience is fine, but that's not growth. And that is, they begin to play, and God spoke to you. Maybe you need to come down here. Maybe even in your own life, you've not been taking the Word of God seriously enough. Maybe you are chasing some magical book, some devotional book, or some message. And maybe you're starting to believe the lie that it's about me. No, all you really need to profit spiritually is the Word of God. Maybe you still believe in a lie that it's about feelings. It's not about feelings. Feelings come and go. I say it all the time. I feel like eating a hamburger, and then later I want a hot dog when I get my food. Feeling will lead you astray. Your emotions. Have you ever just thought that your life is just the worst in the world? Your emotions got you down? Emotions are not the truth. The Word of God is. So anytime we start making your emotions arbitrary or truth, we're in trouble. The Word of God. The church today, we're here to edify and learn the Word of God. That's the goal of a church.